God. Wasn't that a great, it's just phenomenal to be here worshiping together as a church body, isn't it? Just absolutely. And Ben, I want to thank you guys for leading us. That song, I just sing that song all day long because it says so much of what it means to be a Christian, to throw up your hands to God and say, you're enough. If I don't have you, nothing else will satisfy. And I really thank you guys for doing that. Well, good morning, Catalyst. My name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're in a series called Cultivate. We're looking at five practices that Christians have practiced through the last 2,000 years in order to cultivate the relationship with Christ. And it's 3 weeks ago, we talked about study, how we immerse ourselves in the Word of God. 2 weeks ago, we talked about fasting and prayer. Last week, we talked about submission, which is laying down the terrible burden of having to have our own way or be right. And this week, like Rob said, we're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of simplicity. The main thing today is that simplicity keeps the main thing the main thing. Okay? Remember, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So simplicity helps us keep the main thing the main thing. I want to ask you guys what these things have in common. Cabbage Patch Kids, 8 Tracks, Beanie Babies, Jams, Panama Jack t-shirts. What do they all have in common? No, actually, you could get all of them in a yard sale for about 50 cents. That's what, if someone was to pull out an iPhone 3 right now, you would look at them and say, dude, that is so 2008. You know, I bet you couldn't even give away an iPhone 3 right now. Did anybody camp out and wait for the release of the iPhone 3 10 years ago? Did anybody do that? Everybody is like, Dave, we were in middle school 10 years ago. Our moms wouldn't let us. Okay. I bet you couldn't even give away those things right now. Let me tell you about the Cabbage Patch Kid. How many of y'all were alive for the Cabbage Patch Kids craze? Okay. All right, Cabbage Patch Kids were these ugly dolls that adults beat each other up over to get for Christmas. You guys remember this? The stories of like grown adults tackling each other and punching each other over Cabbage Patch Kids, okay? All right, and it was a craze at Christmas. All these people that wanted to celebrate the birth of Jesus by punching other adults. So, you know, it was just amazing. But guys, the thing is that everything we thought was so had to have back then now can be found in a yard sale for 50 cents. And I want you to look at what you have right now. I mean, I've got this iPhone, I don't know what it is. It's like one of those numbers. I don't know what it is. But this right here, this is going to be so 2018 in 2028. Everything you have, I want you to think this. Everything you have, everything that you value right now, keep this in mind. It's all a Cabbage Patch Kid. It's all a Cabbage Patch Kid. What you think is great now it's in a few years, it's not going to be anything. And we as Americans knock ourselves out to acquire the greatest and the latest thing that will just be in a yard sale in a few years. See, guys, we've made a mistake. We've got it backwards. We're supposed to value people and use things. But we've gotten to the point where we got it backwards. We use people and value things. Instead of the other way around. Jesus calls us to live differently than that. He calls us to the spiritual discipline of simplicity. Now, simplicity is not just getting rid of or wanting to get out of the rat race or trying to declutter, because any non-Christian can do that. If you can do anything that a non-Christian can do, then it's not anything that the Lord wants you to do. But guys, simplicity is this. It's valuing the kingdom of God above all. It is taking on God as your first priority, and His ways, His will, His purposes for you, His desire for you in your family becomes paramount, becomes everything. And then the rest of the world just kind of falls into place. That's what simplicity is. It is seeking first the kingdom of God, and only then can we truly embrace simplicity when we seek God first. It's not just wanting to declutter. Don't hear that this morning. It's much deeper than that. Jim Elliot, who was a missionary to Ecuador who was killed by the Wadani people, he said this: he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And guys, seeking the kingdom first is something known as living out of the divine center. Everybody say divine center. Divine center. And so many of you are asking, what the heck is living out of the divine center? Well, I'll answer that question with another question. What drives you? What drives you? What drives your decisions? What drives your lifestyle? What drives your goals? Well, in the fantastic movie, The Hunt for Red October, anybody seen The Hunt for Red October? Okay, all right. Sean Connery, who's quite possibly one of the greatest actors ever, is in a Russian sub, and he's wanting to defect. And the Russians send another sub after him, captained by Captain Tupolev. And the sub catches up with Sean Connery and fires a torpedo at him. And Sean Connery turns into the torpedo's path and floors it towards it. And the torpedo hits and kind of breaks up harmlessly because it hadn't armed. You guys remember that scene underwater? Okay. Well, what does the captain do next? He removes the safety measure. When he fires another torpedo, it goes active immediately. No safety guards. All right. And so through all of the underwater chaos and everything, the torpedo loses track of Sean Connery's sub. It's a real kind of tense moment where you see the torpedo just kind of going this way and that way and this way, looking for another target. And as I watched that movie, I thought to myself, that's us. When we don't live out of the divine center, we were intended, we were created to lock on to God, to focus on Him, to move towards Him, to be in fellowship with Him, to adopt His ways, to adopt His purpose for life, to enjoy what He enjoys, to value what He values. That's what it means to live out of the divine center. But because of sin, we lost that, and we're just like a torpedo looking for something to lock on to. And when we find anything, it seems, we lock onto it and go after it. Well, in the movie, the torpedo is searching, and it locks on to the sub that fired it, and it goes towards it. And the last thing that the guy says to the captain, he says, "You've destroyed us." And the torpedo hits it and blows the sub to pieces. And guys, many of us, that's us. And like that torpedo, just kind of aimlessly searching for a target, searching for a purpose, many of us, because of the affluent society we are in, have locked onto what Hollywood and the media has told us we need to lock onto, which is things, stuff, the newest, the latest, the greatest. And that's what we're pursuing with our lives. That's why we take the jobs we take. It's why we do the things we do. It's why we live in the houses we live in. It's why we drive the cars we drive, because we're locked on to this psychotic dream called materialism. And like that sub, we lock onto the wrong thing. It destroys us. And it usually has some unintended damage along the way. But God calls us to live out of the divine center, locked onto Him. Okay, St. Augustine said it best, our hearts are restless until we find ourselves in You. All right, living out of the divine center produces simplicity within us, inward simplicity. I've used Richard Foster's book of Celebration and Discipline a lot, but check this out. Richard Foster says this, experiencing inward simplicity liberates us outwardly. So when we live out of the divine center, it liberates us outwardly. And this is what he says, I love this. Speech becomes truthful and honest. The lust for status and position is gone because we no longer value status and position. We cease from showy extravagance, not on the grounds we can't afford it, but on the grounds of principle. Our goods become available to others. We join the experience that Richard E. Byrd, after months alone in the barren Arctic, recorded in his journal saying, "I am learning that people can live profoundly without masses of things." And as we live out of the divine center, we see life with a new pair of eyes. Quite honestly, we recognize the sickness around us. The sickness around us. Luke 12:15, Jesus told us to look out for it. He goes, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." Advertising has done something to us. It has done something to us. It has told us a lie, and we bought it hook, line, and sinker, that a material thing can satisfy spiritual needs. That's what advertising has done to us. And check this out. Because we lack the divine creator, our need for security has led us to an insane attachment to things. We must really understand that the lust for affluence, Foster writes, in contemporary society is psychotic. It's psychotic because it has completely lost touch with reality. We crave things we neither want, need, nor enjoy. We buy things we don't want to impress people we don't like. That's psychotic. Think about it. We are made to feel ashamed to wear clothes or drive cars until they are completely worn out. The mass media has convinced us that to be out of step with fashion is to be out of step with reality. It's time we awaken to the fact that conformity to a sick society is to be sick. Probably one of the most difficult things to do as a Christian in America is stay above the siren call of materialism and acquisition. However, I think something else needs to be said before I go any further. Remember, the spiritual disciplines are accompanied by freedom. Desire for simplicity is for yourself. And you're not allowed to impose that on other people. Okay? One mark of simplicity is the letting go of holding others to standards you set for yourself. It isn't your job to enforce simplicity on others, Christians. It's not. It's not your job to make judgments about what people buy or how they live. That is not for you to decide. Many people use simplicity simply to justify jealousy. And we sound so pious doing it too. Think about, how many of you heard this one? Somebody buys a new car. Oh, just think about how many poor people could have been fed with that money. You heard that? That's usually made by somebody that's not feeding the poor. Just letting you know. In 2009, we bought a car with 112,000 miles on it. That's pretty low mileage for me. Okay, someone said to me, well, church must be doing real well. Yeah, we were a year-old church plant meeting in a high school, and I was delivering newspapers at 2:30 every morning and substitute teaching to make ends meet. Man, we were knocking it out of the park, all right? But as we live out of our divine center, we concern ourselves less and less with what other people are doing. And we concern ourselves more with how we are doing. Simplicity. Remove yourself as a policeman for other people. It's not your job. Simplicity. Free yourself of enforcing on other people. Part of the sickness, we recognize our own sickness of critiquing what others have. All right? But Jesus said a lot about simplicity. Check this out. Jesus said this in Luke 16, 13. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, he told us all, do not store up treasure for yourself here on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21, he tells a parable of a farmer who has an abundance, and he says, I'll just tear down bigger barns, and I'll store it all, and I'll save up life and take life easy. The American dream. And the Lord says, you fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get all of your Cabbage Patch Kids? Because that's all it is. Parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price, saying that followers must sell everything they have to get something of greater value, which is the kingdom of heaven. Luke 6:30, Jesus says, give to everyone who asks you. If anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Simplicity. Hey, he calls all who would follow him to a joyful life of unconcern of possessions. Jesus spoke more about economic issues and simplicity than he did any other social issue. And so many times we in America here just completely skip over what he had to say about it. Simplicity asks one question. And I want you to ask yourselves this. Very, very simple question, very freeing question. Do I need it? Do I need it? One of the keys to simplicity is being able to discern between a genuine want and a genuine need. Do I need it? Back in 2013, our air conditioning in the upper level of our house went out. So we had air conditioning downstairs, but not air conditioning upstairs. And if you ever had an air conditioning unit go out, it was pretty expensive. And so we were you know, looking at, yeah, we can replace the AC unit and everything like that, because it was the summertime and Kentucky, the second floor, it got hot up there, like in the 90s. And we got word from our orphanage in India that a big black mamba snake had gotten into the room where the children were sleeping. And the children didn't have beds. They were sleeping on tarps on the floor, lined up, shoulder to shoulder. And we had a choice. Do we buy air conditioning for ourselves, or do we take that and give it to the orphanage so the children can have beds? And we had a family meeting, and we said, can we go without air conditioning this summer so that we can do that? And the family voted, yeah, we can. And so we bought window fans. They didn't help. It was miserable. It really was. Going to sleep in 90-degree weather, sweltering up there. But it really was an amazing adventure we took as a family, because we asked, do we need it? The children needed beds. We didn't need air conditioning. We liked it. We enjoyed it, but we didn't need it. And so, guys, that was a real adventure. And I found this, something that I wrote my senior year in college. I don't know why, I just wrote it down, just a random thought in some notebook, and I found it the other day. And I wrote this when I was 22 years old, graduating from college. I said, I've found that every material possession I buy, every single thing that I find my soul craving for, be it a new sports car, a bigger house, trinkets and gadgets and the like, do nothing but invest me in a world in which I don't belong, tying me down and investing me in a losing stock and destroying my soul in the process. Everything I say I need serves as another chain to anchor me to a place that Jesus said would never be my home. And I realized that everything I invest myself in this world anchors me here, when Jesus said this world would never be our home, we're just passing through. So ask, do I need it? And free yourself of everything that you don't need. Second thing that we learn is learning to say, who cares? I'm a soccer coach. Any coaches out there? Any coaches? Okay, coaches have ultimate power. It's a power trip being a coach. I don't know if you know that or not. Why? Because you hold the key to what these players want. They want playing time. And because they want playing time, they will do anything you tell them to do, whether it's crawl through mud, push-ups, sprints. They'll do whatever you tell them to do, until they quit caring. And I kid you not, one time I was coaching middle school, and we were running sprints, and this one kid did this. He just sat down, folded his arms, says, I'm not running. I said, you better get up there and run. And he goes, I'm not going to run. I said, man, if you don't run, I'm going to make you sit out of practice. He goes, who cares? And I said, if you sit out of practice, you know that means you miss the game. He goes, who cares? And I said, well, if you miss a game, buddy, I was really on thin ice here. I said, I'm going to kick you off the team. He goes, who cares? And I realized that when he did not care what I could give him, I no longer had control. And Christians, if we can look at a world that is offering us everything and say, who cares? All of a sudden, it no longer controls us. And no longer controls us. If we can look at the newest and greatest and latest and everything that's being thrown at us and say, who cares? All of a sudden, this world has no power over us. And we're free to live as Jesus wants us to live. Learn to say, who cares? Now, simplicity also brings freedom from anxiety. Anxiety is at an all-time high here in America. All-time high. People are suffering from anxiety, especially on college campuses, young generations. All kinds that we hear about anxiety all the time. But guys, there are three inner attitudes that lead to peace, that replace anxiety. Number one is that everything we have is a gift. Everything, my car, my house, my clothes, everything is a gift. It's not mine, it's a gift. Second, that everything we have is to be cared for by God. It's His job to take care of it, not mine. And everything we have is available to others. If you have those three attitudes, then you will probably not wrestle with anxiety very much. But if you have the opposite, these attitudes lead to anxiety, that everything we have is ours and must be protected, that I've earned it and it's mine, then you'll have anxiety. Second, that everything we have, we must hold on to, that it's mine and I've earned it and you can't have it. And third, that nothing we have is available to others. You will be consumed with anxiety because you're trying to protect something that can't be protected. So guys, simplicity, living out of the divine center. Here are some outward signs. Now, these are not the goals. These are the results of an inward living out of the divine center. Here's some results here. Write these down. Number one, you buy things for the usefulness rather than for their status. Okay? Consider clothes. Most people don't need more clothes. Does anyone in here need, not want, but need more clothes? What is the problem in our closets? Is it that they're bare? No, it's that we don't have any room. They're spilling out, right? Speaking the truth or am I lying? Okay? We don't need more clothes. Instead of impressing people with your clothes, start impressing them with your life. Second thing, reject anything that's producing an addiction within you. I have a problem with green tea. I'm the first to admit it. I'm a green tea junkie. I don't know if I can go throughout the day without green tea. So, well, you know what I need to do? I need to quit cold turkey. So if you see me shaking, it's because I quit green tea. Okay? Chocolate, television, smartphones, internet, pornography, tobacco, alcohol. Remember, an addiction is something that you cannot control. Is there anything in your life that you cannot control, that you have to have, that you can't live without? Reject it, because it's destroying your simplicity. Number three, develop a habit of giving things away. People who live out of the divine center just give things away all the time. Okay, most of us could get rid of half our possessions without it seriously affecting our lifestyle. I want you to think about that. Go through your house, go through your room, go through whatever. What can you get rid of and it really not affect you much? Probably a great deal. So guys, we have an opportunity. I want you to listen. On September 8th, we're going to actually get a chance to live out this simplicity and turn our clutter into dollars. We're going to have a yard sale. Hopefully, we're trying to get it out in front of Harbor Freight. It's going to benefit our orphanage in India. These children don't have homes, trying to build the dorms, trying to build the classrooms. Turn your junk into their homes. So we're going to be collecting things, and it'll be on September 8th. We're trying to get that location. If it's not there, we're going to have it in the church parking lot. We'll be giving you more details, but start going through your house and see what you can give away, all right? Turn your excess into something that'll provide homes for kids, all right? I want to know how many of you guys could actually get rid of half of what you own. Can you do it? Well, then do it, all right? Number four. It's a big one. Learn to enjoy things without owning them. Enjoy public parks. Enjoy the library. Enjoy the beach without feeling you need to own a piece of it. Last weekend, my dad and my brother went up to Detroit for a huge muscle car rally. Oh, man. I love machinery, especially old cars, muscle cars, Mustangs, Barracudas, Chargers, McLarens. If I was Tim Allen, I'd go, I mean, it was awesome. 10,000 of them. And I'm partial to Mustangs. I love 67 and 68 Mustangs. Any Mustang fans in there? Yeah, out there, yeah. I saw a California special, a rare California special with a chromed out engine compartment. I mean, probably 100 grand. It's so rare. It's amazing. And my dad asked me if I was ever going to get one because I kept going on and on about the Mustangs. And I said I'd love one, but I don't have any room for it. I don't have time to restore one. I don't want to go into debt to buy one. But, you know, it was amazing. When I said that, this is the first time I've ever really not wanted one. And I just appreciated that other people had spent their money. And I could enjoy it. It was great. I was like, thank you. It's amazing. And I watched the 10,000 classic muscle cars roar down the road. and loved every bit of it without feeling any desire to own one. No envy, no jealousy towards those that had them, man. Just great stuff, no feeling of being slighted or anything, just enjoying. And when I found out that those feelings weren't there, you guys, I enjoyed the cars even more. It was awesome. It was so liberating, so freeing, just enjoying what was right in front of me. See, guys, part of the spiritual discipline of simplicity is just being able to enjoy without feeling you have to own it. You guys know that kind of freedom? Number five, develop a deep appreciation for what God has blessed everyone with. Creation. Go to Natural Bridge. Go to Red River Gorge. Go see what God has blessed everyone with without feeling a need to enjoy it, to own a piece of it. Just enjoy. Simplicity. And number six, don't fall for you can have it now advertising. We've talked about that in our last series. Look what it does to you spiritually. Not just because of the debt that you incur, but look what it does to our character. Look what it does to our desires and the passions in our heart. Look what it does to our ability to delay gratification, which is essential to being a Christian. And the last thing, use the spiritual discipline of fasting to reveal desires that battle against simplicity. That last song we sang before the sermon was enough. Can you really say that? Were any of you all in here lying when you were just singing praises to God? All of you is more than enough? Is that really what we believe? Is that really where we are? Could we truly, like in Hebrews chapter 12, like they did, have everything confiscated, lose everything we have, and say, God, as long as I have you, it's more than enough? Is that where we are as people? The spiritual discipline of fasting reveal what desires that battle against simplicity. I'm going to invite the band, come on back up. Simplicity is keeping Christ as supreme in our lives, being the divine center, being him being everything. Okay? His ways, his purposes for us, and it's a battle to keep him there. And until Christ is enough, people, until Christ is enough, nothing else will be. You will be like that torpedo, looking from thing to thing to thing to thing, looking for something to satisfy and fulfill you, and you'll never find it because our hearts were designed for one thing. It's Christ, like St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until we find ourselves in you. And when we find ourselves in you, God, then all of a sudden, our desire for the things of this world just kind of melts away. So we can live in freedom, live in simplicity, live in joy. Now, if you're battling with simplicity right now, I want to ask you as we sing to just give it all to God. Give your desires, give your passions, give everything just to God and say, Lord, I want you to be the center. I want to live out of the divine center and that everything else can just go by the wayside. I want to invite you to stand and sing this again.